Hello, everyone. Welcome to Amago, Season 2, Episode 1, Consider Your Ways. I'm your host, Vanessa Brown. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Again, welcome everyone. This is season 2. It's been a few weeks. I have been on a break just studying and listening to hear what the Lord is saying about the podcast and what He is speaking in the earth. And so this evening, I want to talk to you from the topic, Consider Your Ways. I'm going to be moving back and forth into basically two books of the Bible, Haggai and Ezra. First, I want to take you to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways." Many of us grew up in traditional churches. I have like vivid memories of a time when God was reverenced and the church was treated as this holy place and that we believed like God actually resided there. Since COVID-19, the pandemic, we now look at what remains of the church, the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but for me, it like fails in comparison to what it used to be. It feels like we're having to start over again. But starting over is not a bad thing. It can actually be an opportunity. It's a chance to build a new life, one that was better than the one that we had before. And it's a chance to learn from our mistakes and to become stronger. And so I want us to go into this conversation with that mindset. Yes, after the pandemic, we basically had to start over, but it is an opportunity that the Lord is giving us to do that. I'm sure that this is the same way that the Israelites felt when they were released from the Babylonian captivity. In the book of Haggai, we are provided with a historical context of the Jewish people's return after their exile in Babylon. God used a Persian king, a pagan king. His name was Cyrus. He's one of my favorite historical characters. But the Lord used Cyrus, this Persian king, to free his people. And if we look at the book of Ezra in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says this. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go to Jerusalem and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." So here is this pagan king saying that God chose him to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and he is giving specific instructions about what is supposed to happen as this temple is being rebuilt and who is supposed to help to fund it. Now, God gives specific directions to rebuild the temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But when the Jews actually returned to Jerusalem, they settled in their towns and came together and they built an altar to the Lord instead. They offered sacrifices to the Lord. But this was not what the Lord said through Cyrus. The free will offerings the family gave, the building of the altar, the offering of the sacrifices, we could all look from afar off and say, yes, this is a good thing because they are worshiping God. But We have to now be careful with appearances. What may appear to be good does not tell us the motive that is behind it. Today, more and more men and women of God are being creative with how they carry out ministry. Many are now what we call content creators, like me. The Israelites actually face this as well, because when they came back from Babylonian captivity, there were some things about their society that had changed. Since we have gotten back from COVID-19, there are some things in our society that has changed. We can now not deny that churches need to use media, right? We use media. The Israelites had to make some changes. They had to make changes and they had to be creative. We look, we see in the book of Ezra that they had people who could not prove that their families were descendants from Israel. So those people had to be excluded from the priesthood. The Israelites also had to lower the age of appointing priests from 30 years old to 20 years old because of the low number of priests that would have been eligible for service. The Babylonian captivity had wiped out a lot of people. So the question that must be asked is, what is the motive behind the changes and what we're doing? What was the motive for the Israelites? But more importantly, I think that the question that we have to always ask ourselves, regardless of changes and how our society changes, is what did God say? What were the instructions from the Lord? And asking yourself if what you're doing is done from a place of purity, or is this some type of shortcut? Is this some type of gimmick? Is this some type of scheme? So we have to ask ourselves these questions. One of the reasons why we have to ask ourselves these questions is my first point. Because doing good is not doing what God said. They're different. They're distinctive. Doing good and doing what God said may be two different things. When we look at Haggai chapter 1, verse number 10, the Lord says, "Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops." What does this mean? Well, when the Israelites left Babylon, they left with the intention and the direction to rebuild the temple. However, when they arrived, they built an altar. They built this altar in order to offer burnt sacrifices or offerings to the Lord, to celebrate their feasts. But more importantly, they built the altar in order to ask God for protection from the enemies that were surrounding them. If we look real careful at this account in the Bible, if you're just reading Haggai, you're not going to get the full of what was happening. You need to read Haggai as well as Ezra. And then we see that the Israelites were actually afraid of the people that were around them. And so I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. But they were even afraid to build the altar. But the altar would be a smaller thing than them beginning the work on the temple immediately. So they went and they built this altar to the Lord. The altar, though, was not rebuilt out of worship to God. It was built to get something from God. While the altar that they built was good, it was not what the Lord had commanded. Consider your ways. When we claim we are doing something for God, He knows our hearts, He knows our intentions, And so for the Israelites, it was less intimidating for them to build this altar than the temple. And perhaps they thought that maybe this is enough for God right now. Maybe, you know, we know that he's asked us to build a temple, but maybe God is okay right now if we just build this altar and we're able to perform our services to him as we would normally. Maybe they thought it was enough because God continued to protect them, even though they were disobeying him. But once the altar was built, they then focused their attention on building their own homes and their own businesses. And I am sure you guys can now see how this is related to what's happening in our society. I just remember that when the pandemic was going on, we were all so concerned about the house of the Lord, how it was going to survive. We all wanted to make sure we were in relationship with God because we were afraid of death. But now that it's been removed, it's as if we have quickly forgotten what it was like to be in that captivity at that time. And now I am witnessing this focus on self, this focus on success, this focus on me, 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 my. And as one commentator put it, as I was studying this, one commentator said, you can have an altar without a temple, but you cannot have a temple without an altar. It's the body of Christ. We're called to be temples. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, and therefore honor God with your bodies. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. My second point is, you get what you put in. You get what you put in. Haggai chapter 1, verse 9 says, you expected much, but it turned out to be little. The prophet Haggai delivered this message to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, the governor and high priest of Israel. Yes, the building of the altar was good, but it was not what God commanded. They had done little, but they were expecting God to do much for them. The Lord let them know that the lack of reverence toward restoring the house of God in Jerusalem was the reason they were not prospering, because the altar was simply lip service. They said one thing, but their actions spoke differently. I want to share with you Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, obey those who are in authority over you, not just to win their favor when they are watching, but doing the will of God from our hearts, the Lord will reward each one for the good they do. As I observe things, sometimes I am just amazed at decisions that people are making. And I wonder if folks don't understand that God sees all, he knows all, that you can't manipulate God, like you can't ride on somebody else's coattail. Like God knows the intention of your heart. Every thought that you have, he already knows it. Every decision that you make, he already knows why you're making it. So there is no fooling God, as some people seem to believe. The Israelites were getting from God what they put into their relationship with God. And since they did not consider using their resources and their time and their energy to the rebuilding of the temple, things in their life were not prospering. They assumed that their offering, oh, and this is so good, y'all. They assumed that their offering, their sacrifices, their feast was what God desired from them. But Haggai chapter 2, verse 12 says this. If someone carries a piece of sacred meat in his pocket that is set apart for sacrifice on the altar. And the pocket touches a loaf of bread, a dish of stew, a bottle of wine or oil, or any other food. Will these foods be made holy by such contact? The priest said, no. Then Haggai asked, how about someone who is contaminated by touching a corpse? If that person touches one of these foods, will it be contaminated? The priest said, yes, it would be contaminated. Then Haggai said, so is this people contaminated. Their nation is contaminated. Whatever they do for me is contaminated. God says so. Like the people of Israel, some of us think that we can offer God anything and he will accept it. So even though the Israelites built an altar where and were offering sacrifices, God was not pleased. So this again takes me to consider your ways and be careful of what we call holy, because we cannot make something holy that is not holy. And the truth is, what the scripture just said to us is, it's easier to be contaminated by what is unholy than it is for something that is holy to make you holy. And I know, I'm sure that probably went over someone's head a little bit, but what I started thinking about is the power of influence. And that could be a whole podcast by itself, but this power of influence. Think about the fact that you are a person, your body, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And let's say that you are living the way that God asks us to live. We're living set apart, because that's all holy means. Holy doesn't mean how long your dress is, whether or not you wear makeup, blah, blah. That's not what holy means. Holy means set apart. Holy means different. Set apart, different. You, a person who's holy, set apart, different, but you're in your family and nobody else in your family is. But think about the person in your family that may be on drugs, maybe a person who smokes, maybe a person that commits adultery. Think about all those things and how that influences your family more strongly than you, the holy one that's in your family. It is more simple, easy to be influenced by what is not holy than it is to be influenced or affected by what is holy. So we have to be careful about everything that we bring to God as if it is holy, because it's not. And we have to be careful and consider our ways, because just because you offer it does not mean that God is accepting it. We are called to be set apart, to be different. And my third and my final point for our conversation this evening is, there is a blessing of obedience when we do things God's way. The Israelites were not obedient to the word of the Lord. God used a pagan king, Cyrus, to bring them back with instructions to rebuild his house. Yet when they returned from exile and the horrible experiences of Babylon, they spent months making themselves comfortable. They slothfully and half-heartedly worked on God's temple. The Israelites returned from Babylonian captivity in 538 BC. They did not complete the work on the temple of God until 520 BC. So in Haggai chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord asked people to give careful thought to how their life had gone between the period of their return and 520 BC. Yeah, like my favorite phrase is, how's that working out for you? God makes it clear that they got out of their life what they put into their relationship with him. And that was very little. After I studied this for a while and read it and meditated on it, I looked at and thought about the state of our country, thought about the state of our cities, our schools, our churches, and our families. And I believe that God is saying the same thing to us today. We get out of it what we put into it. Much like the Israelites who returned from the harshness of the Babylonian captivity, we returned from COVID giving God lip service. We returned and we put contaminated things on the altar, assuming it was what he wants, when in fact he does not. We need to consider our ways. The Lord tells Haggai that the day the Israelites decide to be obedient to his work with the right heart and the right spirit is the day that he promises their situation would change. God said that he would bless them from December the 18th onward. And I was like, hey, cool, God, that's my birthday. I like that. But the Israelites had started the work on the temple in October. So why is God telling them this months after they had gotten started? God wanted them to know that even if there was nothing in their barn, no wheat in the barn, even if there was no produce from the day that the work began in October, he says, I will bless you from the day you begin the work I have for you to do. I will bless you. This reminded me of Matthew 6:33. But above all, this is what the Message Bible says, above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will follow you as well. And the NIV says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, when we worship God in spirit and in truth, when we can ascend to the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they are the ones who receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. I want to leave you with three things that I've learned now, and I am so happy that the Lord has revealed this to me. There is something, because we are supposed to be holy, we're supposed to be different, we're supposed to be set apart. There is something different about the blessing of the Lord, right? God's blessing, first of all, allows you to do more with less. In other words, God's blessings assures you that you can get more done with fewer people than if you had 100 people. You can get more done with less people when you are blessed by God. It's like Gideon. Gideon had to dwindle his numbers down because he had the blessing of the Lord. So he didn't need 3,000 men to do what the Lord had called him to. When you have God's blessing, and what God was talking about when he said, even if there's nothing in the barn, you don't see any fruit on the tree, God's blessing sustains us without us seeing the visible fruit on the tree. I don't know about any of you, but I'm going to tell you that we have been through, my husband and I have just gone through a season in our life that when we put the numbers down on the paper, it does not add up to the expenses that we have. But God's blessing sustains us without us seeing the fruit on the tree. He blesses you. When you are blessed by God, you don't have to see the fruit on the tree. You just need to know that He is God. He is your sustainer. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. And then finally, I want to leave you with this point, because blessings don't mean that there are going to be no storms, no opposition, no challenges. The blessing of God guarantees that you will overcome them all. And that is the difference. So yes, there may be sickness in your body. Yes, there may be struggles with your children and in your home. Yes, there might be trouble on the job. Yes, you might have these challenges. But the blessing of God guarantees that you overcome them all. God is calling for us to consider our ways. Before we do anything, we need to check our hearts, we need to check our motives, and we need to make sure that we are doing it solely for the glory of God. And that we are doing what God has instructed us to do, and that we are doing it His way. Thank you for joining me. Please visit the website at omegohim.com to check out all of my coaching and leadership development services. You can find me on Instagram at omegohim, on Facebook by typing IMAGO. And now, in season two, you can find me on YouTube at Omego Him. Be sure to like and share my weekly posts that are on Facebook. Hit the subscribe and notification button on the YouTube page, please. If you hit the notification button, you'll be made aware anytime that I have posted a video. Please download the podcast on whatever platform that you are listening to it on audio. Spotify, Amazon, it doesn't matter. Whatever platform you're using, please download the podcast. I have no way of knowing how many people are listening unless you download the Omego podcast each week. I'm still looking for 1,000 subscribers on Spotify. So if you use Spotify, please make sure that you subscribe and continue to download the podcast each week. There is a link in Spotify to allow you to support the podcast by subscribing. Please email me with any feedback, any topics that you would like to hear on the podcast. Please make sure that you email me, and my email address is omegohim@gmail.com. We'll see you next week. And until then, we shall be just like Him.